Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line. Live right here on Sports Grid on Christmas Eve, this Friday morning. Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays and all that good jazz. I'm Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here on the heels of Thursday Night Football. A lot to get through, but first let's welcome the man himself in, DRS. How we feeling?
Feeling the holiday spirit here, getting after it on a Friday, the last show of the week, and obviously before the holiday break for us, which only lasts a couple hours as we kick it back off back on Monday. But I'm ready to go on this show here. We got a big football card this weekend, two games on Saturday, full slate on Sunday, and some interesting doings here for the 49ers. And I always like to say at the end of the show, Kevin, a little bit, listen up. Jimmy Garoppolo, man, you're going to have to listen up to this pep talk I'm about to give you.
Oh, man. Jimmy, let me just – I don't know if it's going to be much of a pep talk. Might just be straight 250 a slander, but you at least listen up, all right, pal? You give it a chance here. Let's figure out why Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the target of listen up. Well, it's because San Francisco 49ers lose last night to the Tennessee Titans. 20-17 final score on the road, short work week. Should be no shame in that. Well, score was 10-0. Jimmy Garoppolo left – roughly 700 points out there on the field and was the entire reason that the Tennessee Titans had any chance to win this game, with back-breaking interceptions and missed wide open wide receivers or fullbacks, to be a little more specific, Donnie. The Titans moved to 10-5, a result away from clinching the AFC South, and the Niners get right back into that mucky NFC wildcard picture.
Tennessee, like Mike Vrabel, you take a look at the head coach and say, well, how do we win this football game? And after the first quarter, he basically said, maybe he just gathered his team around and said, hey, look, we can't move the football. We won't move the football. Here's our goal here. Give the 49ers as many opportunities as you can with the football on offense, and we should end up winning this game. You saw it coming from a mile away. You know, Kyle Shanahan, one of the best play callers in the NFL, those scripted plays on the first drive, marched right down the field to punch a touchdown in. Did the same thing on the second drive. They get to a second and goal with a horrible interception from Jimmy Garoppolo. No big deal. Defense bails them out again. They punt. They move the football right down the field and should have had an easy touchdown pass. You should have been looking at a worst-case scenario early in the second quarter, Kevin, 17-0 for San Francisco, where that defense could have just teed off on the Tennessee Titans. But that wasn't the case. And you were waiting. Every single throw should have been an interception. Wasn't an interception. And then they finally, the dam broke in the second half, where he just airmailed a pass, I believe, to Brandon Ayuk for an easy interception. And it was Tennessee's night the rest of the way. Because if you look at the statistics and you say at the end of the game without watching it, wait a minute, Jimmy threw for 322, and you're telling me he's the issue here? Yes, absolutely, he is the issue for the San Francisco 49ers.
And I honestly think, Donnie, it was the first half that was more damaging than the second half. It wasn't until the 24th play of the game for the Niners offense that they were on third down. Everything Shanahan drew up worked, other than the fact that his quarterback left a lot to be desired. Opening drive, touchdown. It was marvelous. The next drive, it's second and goal on the 8-yard line. We're still inside the first quarter. And Jimmy just stares at George Kittle, assumes, oh, well, he must be open. He's not open. Still throws the football there, and it's promptly picked off by Janoris Jenkins. And they then follow that drive up, and he has a wide open, no exaggeration, no player within 15 yards of Kyle Juszczyk, who is only 5 yards away from the end zone, overthrows him. This should have been 21-0, three Niner drives into the game. As the radio audience enters the fold, and we appreciate all those who are tuned in to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid Radio on this Friday morning on Christmas Eve, DRS. This is the kind of result for the Niners that leads to Trey Lance conversations, because we've seen this too often already from a Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're right, we have. And the best part about it is we were breaking the game down yesterday, and I liked the San Francisco 49ers. I thought they'd win the football game, and I thought they would get their 24-team total. They didn't. It looked like it was one of the best bets I ever made about 6-7 minutes into the game. But when you're trying to bring up what is wrong with Jimmy Garoppolo or the San Francisco 49ers, the last 6 to 7 weeks, he's been great. We talked about his passer rating. Hey, look at Jimmy. He's rising to the occasion. They're scoring, you know, 25-plus points per game. This should be a victory over the Tennessee Titans. We'll see how they perform on offense. But it was really about the 49ers. And then you watch this game, and you have flashbacks, because to win a championship in the NFL, Kevin, it's not about managing the game. It's can you rise up in the biggest moments and not only deliver, but just not make that crucial mistake. When you're watching in the Super Bowl right before the half, they have a couple timeouts around the 30-yard line. They take it into the half, and I'm sitting there going, that's going to cost you. Every chance you have to score, you got to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. You saw it again last night before the half. They're up 10-0, and we were joking on the radio saying, this looks like another carbon copy of that game, because the only thing that you're worried about from a coaching perspective from Kyle Shanahan is, yeah, I can't let my quarterback blow this game up. We're going to win it regardless. And you know what? He blew it up. So when you look forward to the playoffs this year and maybe a deep run, you know you're going to get to that game where it's like, I can't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, and you can't win a Super Bowl that way, Kevin.
On the Tennessee Titans side of it, and we'll close this out fully on the other side of a coming up commercial break, but on the Tennessee Titans side of it, it was a tale of two halves, certainly inspired by some Jimmy Garoppolo interceptions, but also a willingness to trust Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown as a 1-2 punch. A.J. Brown had been out for a little while there. Perhaps it took the play callers a little bit of time to remember just how talented a wide receiver he was, who had 11 for 145 at a score in a game with a quarterback only threw for 209 yards. It was a great wide receiver performance, and a performance that puts the Titans in striking distance of closing out the Colts. We'll talk their game, close out the Titans, all next after a quick break right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports, Kevin Walter, Donnie Rideside, live on Friday morning. DRS, just closing out the Tennessee Titans side of this. It was the kind of performance that they needed, even if all of the losses, it was like, well, when Derek gets back, they're a different team. You don't want that to be the case. It's a good momentum builder for this team. And now if they win one more game or the Colts lose one more game, they win their division. This was really big for Tennessee.
It certainly was. There was a point early in that first quarter, Kevin, I was ready to fire it out on Twitter going, do the Tennessee Titans even make the playoffs at this point? So that was a big win. He saw Mike Vrabel in the postgame presser basically say, hey, a lot of people had us dead and buried, but we're still alive here. And he's correct. That's a sign of a really good coach. Because and also, you get your playmakers back. How good is it here? Let's just say last night, Kevin, A.J. Brown, you know, works out before the game. Hey, you know what? Shoulder's still a little bit leaky here. You know, chest hurts. I'm going to sit out one more week to get right for this playoff run. Do they even move the football last night? Because you're trying to lean on what you tried to set up for the Tennessee Titans to start the season. Two big-time wide receivers where you trade for Julio Jones if he can stay healthy. Julio Jones last night, one target, one catch, 7 yards, just invisible. But A.J. Brown, 11 catches on 16 targets for a 145 and a touchdown. He was everywhere. He was the reason they were able to hang around and win that game. So when you look more towards the playoffs here, you're right. Getting Derrick Henry back is going to be massive because that opens up the play-action pass. But if you can get anything, I'm still waiting, anything out of Julio Jones for this playoff run. This is a team that's built and ready to win in the playoffs. Athletic quarterback, dominant running game, good offensive line, two good wide receivers if Julio Jones shows up. And Vrabel is a head coach who has shown a mettle to say, hey, even in the harshest environments here during the season where we're losing everybody, we're still sitting here 10-5.
It's such a big swing, right? As many wins as anybody in this conference, or sat there as Donnie, and rightfully would have been like, I don't know if they make the playoffs. This team might be tilting. It was a huge result for the Titans overall. Keeps them back on the right track. Now, the Indianapolis Colts, Donnie, will still look, I think, to keep pressure on that team because this is just who the Indianapolis Colts are. The biggest difference of the season is the fact that Tennessee grabbed that sweep. We all know that. We knew it in real time. But the Colts are in action on Saturday against the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona is a 1.5-point favorite in the desert. 48.5 is the total for this game. The Indianapolis Colts have been great on the road this season, Donnie, covering 5 of their 6 road games. The Cardinals have been significantly better on the road this season. At home, only 2-4 against the number. Thoughts here on Cardinals-Colts?
This is going to be a good one here, and I got to say, my first initial thoughts when I look at this line early in the week, or I just look at the game itself, I want to take the Colts. I want to jump in the Colts. They're hot right now. You're playing good defense. You know, a running back that's just seemingly is on another planet right now, and it looks like Carson Wentz settling into where I was doing a little bit too much during the season. I was having a good season, but what I mean by that is now you're saying as a quarterback, you're recognizing this team is actually led by the running back. Let me play off of that and see what we can do. So now you head into this Saturday game. It's a shorter work week here for the Colts. I still do think they win, but I look at that line here and I say to myself, the Colts are +1.5. To me, I would have thought the Colts would actually be a slight favorite in this one, and not because the Colts are all that good. It's what I'm seeing out of the Arizona Cardinals. Take the 5-game snapshot for them that we like to take a look at and say how they've been doing lately here. Some of those games have been Colt McCoy, including the Seattle Seahawks victory on the road, that 23-13. They came back, Kyler Murray's first game back in Chicago. If you just looked at the score, you say, hey, that's a nice win, 33-22. You forget that Andy Dalton basically gift-wrapped that football game, and they didn't have to do all that much. And then you play the Rams. You lose that game 30-23, and then you have one of the worst performances. If you can look back on the NFL season, Kevin, and you go game by game, or you just say, you know what, if you remember a game where you said, I can't really believe that happened, it had to be their performance at Detroit, specifically after a loss to the Rams. Like, perfect bounce-back spot. Detroit is terrible. They got beat by close to 3 touchdowns in that game. And now you have the turnaround, say, okay, it's not a breather against like the Houston Texans or, you know, another team like you just played in the Detroit Lions. You get a really good football team that's humming down the road, and also now seeing that Tennessee won their football game already. If you want to win the division, the Colts have to win it. So a simple breakdown of this game is I'm trusting the Colts a lot more, and Arizona's stock has fallen so far, Kevin. I can't imagine if they lose yet another game what that means for the rest of the season, a division, a playoff run, because now you know you're down your top wide receiver. It's up to Kyler Murray. He hasn't been performing, and last week, that was a bad performance.
If the Cardinals lose this game, right, it is such a tilting result towards you're the team people are going to want to pick on in the NFC, right? They, I don't think, Donnie, would probably maintain their status as the favorites for the division when we would rejoin people here on a Monday. I really don't. And I think Arizona is a team who's certainly playing nowhere near the level of football felt like they were early season. It's very easy to say that when you drop 2 in a row and that one of them is to the Detroit Lions. But I still think they are a good team, Donnie. And that's why I don't want to line up here and knock down, you know, the Colts money line or even grab the 1.5. I think they're an intriguing teaser spot. But where I am willing to back the Indianapolis Colts is that team total market. The number right now is 24. You'd love it to be 23. That's fine. This is a team, Donnie, who has had their team total cash in 10 of their last 11 games. They have, and to even to put that into perspective, they have scored 24 or more points every game since week 4 but one. And it was a 23 number they put on Jacksonville. No running mate. We know how that works here. There's so many pathways to get that Colts team total, whether it's running absolute roughshod over the Arizona Cardinals and blowing them out of the water, or the Arizona Cardinals wake up and give them a pure running mate. The Detroit Lions hung 30 on Arizona and didn't even really need to because of how bad the Cardinals offense was here, Donnie. I think the Colts team total is the way I want to attack this game.
Yeah, and you're talking about a running mate here. Let's also take a look at the Arizona Cardinals. As much as we malign them because they lost 30-23 against the Rams and only scored 12 points against the Detroit, in those two games here, I like to take Chicago out because it was a rainy situation. A lot of short fields here. Just get in, get out with a victory. But those last two games, look what they did against the Rams here. Almost 450 yards of offense versus the Rams. Yeah. And even last week, Kevin, as you try to say, like, hey, they were terrible against Detroit, and they were, 105 yards on the ground, good for 5 yards per carry, and 293 yards in the air. The offense is moving the football. They're just not cashing in. So when you take a look, which you like, because I like where you're going here with the Colts team total. Frank Reich, very aggressive. 4th and short, they're going for it. They have a running back now that once they get in the red zone, seems like an automatic touchdown. But you might be getting a pretty good offense here from Arizona to push that envelope, and that's what you need. Because if you engage the Colts, they're more than happy to drop a 30 spot on you. But the one thing you also like about the Colts, now they're not playing a bad football team, but in the fourth quarter, when you say, okay, we're going to just slow the game down and run the football, you got Jonathan Taylor. You saw it the last time they took the field, Kevin, against the New England Patriots. He, you know, busting the 70-yarder to clinch it at the end of the game. That is routine. It's almost like when you watch like that. There's a couple different running backs in the NFL. One is Dalvin Cook. Another one, Jonathan Taylor, just right off the top of my head. You hand the football off. There is a chance they go the distance every time they have the football. And when you're looking at team totals, explosive plays are needed, and he can give you that. So I like where you're going here with the Colts team total.
And I will add this as well, and we'll start the next segment talking Packers-Browns. Right now, the odds to win the MVP, you have four players at under that 10-1 mark. Mahomes is actually outside of that range right now. Stafford is 9-1. Tom Brady is your second choice at plus 195. But taking center stage on Saturday, the favorite in Aaron Rodgers at plus 140, Jonathan Taylor, the third choice, at plus 850. Not saying that the Colts are going to lose a game to get Taylor the MVP. That's backwards. They must win games for him to win MVP. I still think it's an uphill battle. But they will get Jonathan Taylor the ball on the goal line. We talk about two touchdown props, right? And or, you know, a touchdown and 100 yards from Jonathan Taylor. Those match specials that all applied to him that are necessary for him to even stay in this race, much less cash a ticket. And I think that also applies to Aaron Rodgers, Lambeau, prime time against the Cleveland Browns. It is a massive, massive game where Rodgers maybe can put Tom Brady out of reach. We'll break that one down after a quick break right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Let's finish up this Saturday slate. Green Bay Packers host the Cleveland Browns at Lambeau Field, where they are a perfect 6-0, not only straight up, but against the spread as well. It's a big number here, though, on a Saturday. It is 7.5 right now for Green Bay. The total of this game is 46. I will say this right now. I know for a fact that there are going to be a ton of Packers minus 1.5s, Colts plus 7.5 teasers that will sit out there on Saturday. And just my experience with teasers is that's not going to work. It is something that makes me very cautious about this slate overall, Donnie, because it just, things can never be that easy, even when they seem like they'll be that easy. The total for this game here, though, is 46. I struggle to come up with any world where Cleveland can win this game, but can they cover this game, Donnie?
I mean, I guess they can cover, but again, when you're trying to take a look as a handicapper, the advantages in football games, if you're saying to yourself, hey, look, this line's going to be, let's just say, 7.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, total 46, and you look at this and go, I don't know if Cleveland can win this game, but I think they can cover. You're looking at a touchdown spread. If you think your team can't win the football game, meaning they can't come up with an extra touchdown or get a defensive stop, you probably shouldn't be, you know, betting into that situation. But also, keep in mind, we're still waiting on the COVID list here to come out for Cleveland. Like, you talk about Kevin Stefanski saying, hey, look, Baker hasn't been around here 2 weeks. If he gets activated late Friday night, we'll start him for Saturday. What? Like, you can't just go through this. And I think this is coming of the times here, Kevin, in the markets that we're looking at, whether it be short weeks here for some of these teams, just teams that are racked by COVID. Because you have to understand now, this isn't, you know, it's still real life. You have COVID protocols with inside the building. This isn't like, hey, we're just going to separate these 20 guys from the team and we're still going to mingle around, have lunch and, you know, meetings the way they are. You barely get practice time. Everybody's masked and staying away. You're on Skype as opposed to being in the room doing your, you know, like chalk talk. everything changes here, including practice time. And you're talking about guys at the pinnacle of their careers here, in the prime, where even though outside of Aaron Rodgers, who can be away from the team for 10 days, show up on a Saturday and ball out, I understand that. And he wasn't all that great in that game versus Seattle when Russell Wilson came back in that game as well. They end up winning that, but from Baker Mayfield going on the road, not being around the team for 2 weeks, and just showing up when the rest of the team is still battling COVID, I can't buy into it. The only way I can look in this game is towards the Green Bay Packers. But if this was different, where Cleveland was healthy and coming on the road, obviously that line wouldn't be 7.5. That's there for a reason. I can't go against the Green Bay Packers, even though that number now sits over a touchdown at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
I look at this game, and I look at that total of 46. And you have to look at what the Packers have now been doing here over the last month of football. Four consecutive overs. The average amount of points scored in these last four Green Bay Packer games, 66.3 points per game. The Browns enter a team that's typically played overs on the road. 4 of 6 over on the road. Here is where this gets very, very interesting, though. The Packers have scored 30 or more points 6 times this season. Only once did that ring true where their opponent didn't at least get to 28 points. No team fits the running mate description this year more than the Green Bay Packers. They need to be pushed. Rodgers otherwise seems like he does not care. Where I'm struggling, though, with that, Donnie, is the MVP is right there for the taking. And I know anybody would love to win the MVP. It means a lot, right? Mahomes puts another one on the mantle. Stafford and the redemption that was all of his time in Detroit. Taylor doing it for the running back position. Brady at his age. But Rodgers' motivation of all of this offseason drama, then all of the stuff that he went through, his own fault, by the way, with not getting the vaccine and telling people he was immunized and all that nonsense, all of that, I think, really matters to Rodgers. And that is enough to trust that this game gets over the 46, Donnie. And the thing about this game getting over the 46 is if it does, I think it gets well over the 46 because I think Green Bay gives you that 35 number, and then Cleveland only has to do very, very little to get you where you're looking to go here with this total.
And I'm on the opposite side of this. I do think the game stays under the total because simple fact is you're right. You know, Green Bay is one of those teams where if you have to push them, they will jump into the 40s. The Chicago Bears game, if the Bears came out with zero offense in the first half, they would have probably won that game, what, like 23-12 or 23-10 at that point because they don't have to do that much. The thing I'm worried about with Cleveland, when they're right on offense, everybody healthy on the offensive line, both running backs in there, a complement of wide receivers, and also Baker Mayfield not having multiple injuries each and every week he's trying to get over, they're a good football team. But when I look overall at those last couple games that they've had here, COVID, not COVID, different starter, who cares, right? Because it's not just a one-week thing. They scored 7 points against the New England Patriots. They had close to right around 200 yards total of offense in the game in a blowout. Then they played Detroit, one of the worst defenses in the league, Kevin. They put up 13 points here. Buck 84 on the ground, which is great because, you know, Nick Chubb can run wild. 165 in the air. Then they played Baltimore on the road and only scored 10 points in a loss there. 40 yards on the ground, 220 in the air. They actually beat Baltimore that 1 week with Tyler Huntley, a quarterback. They didn't do much on offense, under 300 total yards. And then you saw last week against Las Vegas. You take a look in a loss at home. Now, I know they were COVID ravaged, but again, only 14 points. I can't just wake up today and say, hey, you know what? It looks like Cleveland's going to really get after this week because I'm looking at their COVID list. It is extensive here. They just lost their center now for this game. And unless Nick Chubb has one of those games, Kevin, 20 carries, a buck 65 and 2 scores, I don't know where they're moving the football. And then that flips it over to Green Bay, where if Green Bay senses like, hey, Cleveland's ceiling is about 14 points, we'd be more than happy to stay around that 20-point number and come out of here with a win on a Saturday.
And I'll tell you right now, we'll do our pick six later. This game is my all over. 9 times out of 10, someone says they like under in the game that I like my all to over. In my mind, I'm like, they just got this wrong. I totally understand betting the under in this game. There's a world you could sell me on betting the alt over and the alt under and thinking that there's no way this game's going to land in the middle. I absolutely get it. But one of the things that I'm hoping to lean on with this game is not only Rodgers saying, I don't care if Cleveland can't move it. Good. The more I have the football, the more touchdowns I throw, is the fact that the Packers in this four-game window I'm talking about are allowing 30 points per game. Their defense has now been vulnerable here. Tyler Huntley got after it. Justin Fields got after it. They haven't been playing MVP candidate after MVP candidate, and I'm hoping that the Browns will be able to do enough. Because the one thing, Donnie, and I know you agree with this, is if by chance Cleveland can stumble into 20 early points, well, then the Packers are going to go and handle the rest of the business here because they will get pushed through this game overall. I want to move forward, though, because Rams-Vikings has an argument for game of the week here. A 10-4 Rams team that is trying to hunt down the Arizona Cardinals and a Minnesota Vikings team that is perfect. I love the Vikings. Now, they're hilarious to me. They're 7-7. They play the Chicago Bears. They look useless. They've lost to the Detroit Lions, but they are also tremendously live in this game because, of course, they're tremendously live in the game. That's who the Minnesota Vikings are. A tremendous 5-1 against the number as an underdog this season. Every single time you think you have the Vikings nailed down, you don't have the Vikings nailed down. But this is a tough spot, Donnie, because one of the pieces of news that came out recently, Dalvin Cook on the COVID list, and Vikings, I think, could miss him for this one.
Yeah, I thought the Rams would win this game. Now, we're going to go over a couple points on why I think it's valid what you're talking about here with the Minnesota Vikings. But, you know, just simple oddsman numbers, right? The line sits at 3. Dalvin Cook's immediately announced out. Go to the FanDuel Sportsbook. I pick up that -3 line for the Rams. You know, an hour later, that line is 3.5. So mission accomplished. You got what you wanted. If you thought they were going to win the game, you might as well go out and take the number that's going to be better than what it's probably going to show later in the week. I would be surprised if this number does creep back to 3, unless we get another COVID outbreak or a bad situation here for the Los Angeles Rams. But they do play well at home, and they do tend to play close even when they lose. So you're going to have that in your bucket. But also, let's take a look first from a Minnesota perspective here, right? And you take a look at how they match up with the Rams defense. And I don't think it's very good. Not very many teams match up against the Rams defensive line with Von Miller and you know, and Aaron Donald coming after you. It's a hard one. Hey, look, my offensive line should be able to handle it. They're going to get home, but it's just a matter of how much you manage that. But here's the issue I have with the Minnesota offense coming in, right? Kirk Cousins is a very good regular season quarterback. He threw for 61 yards last week. And that's not an indictment on him. They got the job done. They won 17-9. That game roughly was 17-3. The Bears couldn't move the football. Or should I say, couldn't cash in touchdowns when they moved the football. But if you're looking from Adam Thielen coming back in this game, he's on one leg. Okay, so he's probably not going to be all that effective. We love Justin Jefferson, but now you're going up against Jalen Ramsey, who's probably going to be like, you know what? Let me and this guy go one-on-one all game long, and we'll see who's really the king of the hill. And Ramsey's usually up to the challenge. Okay, let's take away Thielen. Is it going to be that effective? And then you have Justin Jefferson on Jalen Ramsey. Okay, explosive running game with Dalvin. He's not there. Alexander Mattison is a very capable backup quarterback. But if I need to beat the Rams, I need big plays. So if my best wide receiver is covered by the best cornerback in football, my secondary option is usually open all the time, can barely run routes and is more of a decoy, and I don't have Dalvin Cook in the screen game where, hey, I'm going to hand you the football for the 50-yard line. Whoa, we just got a 50-yard touchdown run, which isn't going to be there. It's hard to beat the Rams that way. But the one major thing, Kevin, you have in your favor, take away the X's and O's. You do know the Rams played at home on Tuesday, and now we're going to go on the road in Minnesota in an extra short week. That is very hard to do. So just for that alone, Minnesota's going to be in this game, but I don't think that's enough to tilt me from going against the Rams here. I just think they're more talented, and I think they're going to win this football game.
And I think typically when I see these spots like this for Minnesota, it's not a spot where I ever truly am desperate to load up on the Vikings. More so all right, it's probably not a great time to fade Minnesota or fade them aggressively, right? The world, because now that hook is there, Donnie, walk-off Rams field goal doesn't surprise me one bit, right? That's how you could very well see this game play out. The Rams, though, again, with a massive opportunity and potentially an opportunity for Stafford to stay in this MVP race here. What about Tom Brady in the MVP race? That's where we start our next segment right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Just talking a little Vikings, Rams. Matthew Stafford wants to be in the MVP race. It's going to require some drop-offs, really, from other guys. Maybe you could predict a Brady drop-off. Taylor is obviously over there at the running back position. Maybe that's jumpable, but he's going to need Rodgers to lose games here, most likely. We'll see, though. But Brady is really the guy who's lost ground. Minus 160, I remember seeing after or heading into last week's action. He didn't score last week, though, Donnie. So that changes the math a little bit here on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But really, in my opinion, not reflected in this spread at all. Tampa's a 10-point favorite in Carolina. Total is 43. And I know we've talked about this before, that home field advantage math that sometimes can be tricky. But even if you told me that, you know, home field advantage is worth 2.5 to the next closest man, that means that Tampa Bay, if this game was at home, would be laying 15 points. That all sounds far too high. The road double digits sounds far too high. How do you see this one here, Donnie?
It makes me feel like, you know, Tom Brady's going back to his New England Patriots days here. Why? Because the wide receivers, not many of them to throw to here. Running backs, questionable. And Tom Brady just seems to will his team to victory. Now, we do know that Tampa Bay still overall is a better football team than the Carolina Panthers. Because why? You have Tom Brady. And they have Cam Newton and, you know, a bunch of other, you know, quarterbacks that won't be able to perform. The P.J. Walkers of the world, Sam Darnolds. They should be able to win this game. But I still scratch my head. I look at the FanDuel Sports. We're going to see a line that was hovering, you know, 10 and a half and still around double digits this week. And I say, why? Like, how can that be? You're taking a look at a Tampa Bay team when they are full throttle. They still struggle on the road to win football games, let alone cover. This isn't a game, Kevin, where you're going on the road and saying, okay, it's a pick 'em. Can Tampa Bay win this? Of course they can win this game. But can they go on the road and win by double digits? My initial thoughts on this were, you take a look, and it's been the same all week long. It's just an indictment of how bad the quarterbacking situation is for the Carolina Panthers. Not per se about their defense, their wide receivers, their running backs. It's just the quarterback position alone where you say, all right, I have Tom Brady on one side. Doesn't matter the weapons I have. And I have Cam Newton and you know, two other guys here who aren't very good along with them there. But I have to tell you, I still want to take the Carolina Panthers in this game. I do. I don't think Carolina can win this game. But who's to say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who already struggle, as we say, on the road, are just going to walk the football up and down the field with Antonio Brown, who's been out seemingly 2 months, and Rob Gronkowski at tight end. Now, you know me. I love Ronald Jones, and I'd be more than happy to see him get 32 carries for 275 yards. Like, hey, I got life in my one prop here that's pretty much dead in the water. But outside of having Tom Brady and Antonio Brown off of a six-week sabbatical, are we just going to move the football up and down the field with ease and blow this team out in division? I don't think so, Kevin. And I don't even like the Carolina Panthers, but they should stick around double digits.
I actually don't really think that Carolina should be sticking around double digits, Donnie. They have a chance to win this football game because these Bucs numbers are ridiculous, and that's how bad they've been on the road. They went to L.A. They started it out, right? They were a favorite in that football game, the Bucs. Donnie, they lost that game. They also lost the first half. They went to New England as a road favorite. They won by two. They did lose the first half. The Saints, road favorite, lost that game and lost the first half. Washington, a double-digit favorite, lost that game and certainly the first half. Down double digits at the half against the Colts. A cover by accident, if you listen to the Bruce Arians post game. The game against Atlanta, they didn't cover the first half here. I almost wish I could submit the Panthers' first half as my money line dog, because I think there's a real chance that they're up in the first half of this game. But so be it. We'll handle that when we get to the pick six. I'm betting the Panthers plus 10. And the one thing, though, this is going to sound a little tricky here, but I'm not over the moon, Donnie, about the Panthers as a teaser. Because, it feels like one of those where they either keep it close or Cam Newton throws the ball to the wrong team like seven times, and it's just like, oh, boy. Like, Sam Darnold and Cam, like, the Panthers are, like, the worst team to come in and try and take advantage of this awful situation for the Bucs, as they're supposed to roll out a 1-2 punch of Sam Darnold and Cam Newton, which is not great. The only other thing I'll add on top of this, DRS, is Carolina is 5-9 straight up. 5-9 against the number. When they cover, they win. I really believe Carolina has a chance to win this game.
And I guess your theory to try to keep it close here is interesting, because it's not so much about can Carolina score. It's do they just not self-destruct on themselves, three and outs repeatedly. Like, if you get the ball, you know, it's a touchback. You get on your own 25. Is Cam Newton good enough to get a couple first downs to get you around midfield where you can punt that, you know, team back for Tampa Bay inside their own 10-yard line? Because usually you wouldn't be saying the same, well, it doesn't matter where their football field or where the football is on the field here. Tampa Bay has so many weapons, they'll just march right down the field and dominate. But when you're down so many weapons, no longer does every field where you begin seem like a sure field on your own 20, midfield, or even in the red zone for the opposing team. You have Tom Brady, that plethora of wide receivers, healthy running backs, and Fournette. They walk it right down the field. If you make it a little bit harder for Tom Brady in this game, those explosive plays are going to go away. So you're looking at Cam Newton overall saying, can he just be competent? Because in the past four games, they've lost Washington 27-21, Miami 33-10, Atlanta 29-21, and Buffalo 31-14. Now, also keep in mind last week, the 14 points is a little bit of an anomaly. They didn't move the football all that well, but there were multiple chances in that game. If they had a field goal kicker, you might be looking at close to 20 points. So maybe you're at that buy low point on Carolina, and also taking a look at that, you know, crest in water here, per se, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because you saw them get shut out last week. They're going to have a better game plan coming in now, knowing that they don't have the players that got continuously injured throughout the game. But I got to tell you, this is going to be one of those games where I would be really shocked, Kevin, if in the first half I see, let's just say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at halftime with 20 points. I don't think it's going to be that way. So that's why, again, leaning towards the Carolina Panthers getting the cover here.
Moving towards Sunday Night Football, DRS, the Washington football team travels to Dallas here on a tremendous, you know, short work week. Dallas basically plays a fake football game against a Giants team. I mean, my goodness, was that Giants offense brutal. We'll talk about them in a little bit here. But Dallas is now like double digits. Washington activated Taylor Heineke just the other day off of the COVID list. The total here is 47. How do you read Sunday Night Football, Donnie?
You got to read it as towards, I guess, you know, slightly tilted towards the Dallas Cowboys over the Washington football team, because, I mean, you just saw the Washington football team play. And you got to say, hey, look, they hung around. If the Eagles didn't just, you know, implode in the first quarter, you might have been looking at like a 27-0, 30-0 type of football game, because Garrett Gilbert is the quarterback. And also, when you take a look at, you can only play who's on your schedule, you take a look at the Dallas Cowboys' last three victories and now coming up on the Washington football team. New Orleans, struggling at quarterback. Washington, struggling at quarterback. The Giants, struggling at quarterback. And you get Washington again, who will be struggling at quarterback. Yeah, Taylor Heineke tested back in out of the COVID protocols. But what is he actually giving you? That entire team, the offensive line is banged up. The actual health of your skill position players, whether it be from a wide receiver position to now Antonio Gibson, who's like, hey, he's coming into his own here. He goes down with a toe injury against the Philadelphia Eagles after a very nice first quarter and can't do much at all. So now you're looking at this team to go on the road and win. But also at the same time, if you want to flip it over to the Dallas Cowboys, are they just in win-now mode at this point? No style points, just picking up victories. Get up by about 10 points in the game. Sit on the lead here. It feels like one of those. So if we're taking a look at a total perspective of 47, maybe a slight lean towards the under, because Dallas knows we don't need a lot of points to beat the Washington football team. And if you watch the Eagles game, just don't implode, and you should be able to handle your business in this one.
And Dallas is a team, Donnie, that I have no expectation would implode. But with the way they've been playing, they're not really a team you trust to cover double digits. And it's been a while since we wrote home about, oh, man, look how awesome Dak Prescott looks. I mean, what was the last time Dak Prescott really dazzled? It feels like that game against New England, which he then was injured, missed the next week of action. They had a bye week. It's been a long time since we've seen typical Dak Prescott. I thought we were going to see typical Dak Prescott against the Giants. I thought that was a bit of a get-right spot. Similar to what the Rams got against the Jaguars, Donnie, where they said, yeah, listen, we're going to spin this thing around here. They almost hung 40 on that team. They didn't need to, but they could. And it was good for them. They've won two in a row since then. I thought it'd been good for Dallas to hang 30 on the Giants. Let Dak throw for three touchdowns. They got Zeke into the end zone, which I thought was good. But all in all, I don't think, at least I wouldn't, if I were the Dallas Cowboys, left that game with a world of confidence here. And Washington's a group that hangs around. Where do I think they're going to win this game? No, and it's a good point you bring up. Usually the rule of thumb is if you grab a team plus the points, you should think they can win the game. But we're talking about a double-digit spread here. This is a Dallas team that was up 24-0 nothing against Washington and proceeded to win that game 27-20. Washington will keep fighting. They'll keep that back door open there, and I'd rather have the double digits. Let's move forward to the other NFC East matchup here. There's a lot of division games between the NFC East. A lot of the divisions backloaded division games. I still feel like they basically didn't know how to handle the extra game, and this is just what they decided to do here overall. It is what it is. The Eagles, though, Donnie, at home, double-digit favorite against the Giants. Now, the short work week maybe could be a little bit unencouraging around the Eagles, but that's about it. The Giants are horrible. They're a disaster. It's Glennon. It's Fromm. It doesn't really matter. The total's 40.5 in this football game here. I expect the Eagles to roll. Enough confidence, though, to lay a double-digit spread with the Birds.
If I'm going to get the Jalen Hurts minus that first quarter from him, and I'm not even saying, Kevin, I get that full go. I just get half of that. They should be able to wipe the floor with the New York Giants here. Say, well, remember the last time they played the Giants? I understand that. You know, you're talking about one of the worst performances of his career, of the young career for Jalen Hurts. But let's see why, like, there's some, you know, additives why the Giants could stick around. Because the same way we talked about the Los Angeles Rams, and the only benefit here for the Eagles is they did play Tuesday, but they're going to play home again. So you have to get on a plane and go fly, you know, a couple time zones over and play. That should help here. Nick Sirianni's out with COVID. That doesn't help the Philadelphia Eagles. And just when you're getting right again, and it doesn't seem like it matters who's actually at running back because the Eagles run well. Take a look since that game on, looks like Halloween versus Detroit. 236 yards on the ground versus the Chargers, $176. Then in consecutive weeks, 214, 242, 208, a low, Kevin, a low of 185, and then 238 last week. Mike Glenn and Jake Fromm come to town. You should wipe the floor with them. It's the same exact result you should get of what you saw the Washington football team just play the Philadelphia Eagles. A quarterback that doesn't belong to be in the NFL, you can't win football games like that. So if you're looking just to be contrarian and back the Giants, I understand they're getting double digits. Did you see the Giants hang around last time? At least they had a veteran in Daniel Jones, who isn't a very good quarterback, but he's been there, done that. You can't trust the Giants on the road when basically their season is over and they're in look-see mode, because you heard coming out with Joe Judge, hey, you know, it could be this guy, could be that guy. We might want to get a look at Jake Fromm. If you're talking about not winning football games, Kevin, as opposed to we're going to try to get a look at a quarterback, that should be a disaster here. The Philadelphia Eagles should handle their business and win this game by double digits and get the cover. Would be disappointing if they didn't.
The Eagles are 4-1 against the spread as a favorite this season. The only time they did not cover was against the New York Giants. They had 4 turnovers, 3 picks, a fumble, and 2 turnovers on downs. Those 6 turnovers on downs plus normal turnovers there, 5 of them happened inside Giants territory there. The Eagles played their worst game of the season and still almost won the game if Jalen Reagor was a good wide receiver, even a competent level wide receiver, truthfully. They win that football game over there. I expect the Eagles to blow out the New York Giants. And I don't typically say that with the Birds. I was worried about the Washington game. They should roll this team here. We'll close out hour number one with some more Week 16 after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment before we hit hour number two. Typically, you wouldn't have enough time to break down a full game. You got enough time to break down Falcons-Lions. Atlanta's a 6-point favorite. The total's 42.5. Not sure if Goff is going to be back to quarterback this game. The one thing I'm very disappointed in, Donnie, is I actually look forward to the Lions games when we had the 1.5 because I was like, oh, they'll keep losing. I thought we'd at least carry this a little bit. I thought we'd at least carry it until the Atlanta game. Arizona, they ruined everything, Donnie.
No, they certainly did ruin everything. And I bet him a couple times, even jumped back in to make sure Detroit is a tip. But this goes to show you in the NFL, any given Sunday, there's a lot of bad football teams and even some good football teams that get drubbed by bad football teams. But this is another one here. Look, Detroit with Goff, at least they were a mobile offense. They could go up and down the field at somewhat of a pace. But now you're looking at a couple backup quarterbacks. This could be ugly here. But then again, you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm going to back the Atlanta Falcons. You go, what? based on what performances that they lost 31-13 to San Francisco. Ooh, how about that awesome performance where they won 29-21 over Carolina? It's now into that mode where you think about taking Atlanta. Like last week, oh, let's get the 8.5 points against San Francisco. And they were horrendous in that game. And now you're saying, like, wait, we're not getting 8.5 points anymore. We're actually laying close to a touchdown. One of those complete stay away games for me. But let's just see what Detroit has on offense, which I don't think, Kevin, is going to be very much.
Their updated win total, 2.5, minus 125 under, if anybody is so inclined. I don't know if I can do it again here with Detroit. Here's one of the great things, though. I agree. I think this is going to be a very low-scoring football game. The Falcons have only played one over so far at home. Detroit's an under team on the road. Ready for this tremendous Atlanta number, though, Donnie? They have not only covered zero games in this stadium this year, they don't have a single win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Whew. Useless at home. Useless. They saved up the Jets game for London, which was their home victory. Poor Falcons fans. They probably didn't even wake up to watch that terrible game. They should be able to watch a win here. They should. I don't trust it, though. Awful game. Fun segment, though. Game of the week starts hour number two. Keep it right here on Sports.
It's simple, really. Listen. Win. Don't listen. Lose. I mean, duh. This is the home of the winning.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.